everyone. Welcome back to the Onigiri & Co. podcast. Today I am hosting alone. Lexi is not here with me, but I am welcoming a good friend, my colleague Raymond, to talk about some FPV through cinema and also his own FPV experience. Hi, Raymond. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm glad to have you back on the podcast. For people who don't know, if they scroll back on the list of episodes, they should see the previous episode we've done together. And we were talking about cinema and FPV, and we're sort of going to do the same today, but it's changed a bit since then, and I'm excited about all this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the main thing that has changed to start with is you, Raymond. You've done more FPV
yes.
since the past since last time we talked, which was like six months ago, something like that.
Yep.
So I was thinking maybe you could just tell us what you've been doing and if you've been enjoying it or hating it.
A bit of column A, a bit of column B.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, we went out and did some FPV a few weeks back, and that was only the second time I'd been flying proper FPV, and
yeah,
no flight simulator or anything. It was the second time, and I'm like, I felt like I picked it up again pretty quickly. It takes a little bit to get back into it, but again, by the end of it, I'm just like, I want to do more. Seeing yourself and our mate James that came with us. Actually, do you want to have you? Do the listeners know about James?
No, people don't know about James. James, I've mentioned the person before, but I've never given his name. He's a good mate from me from back to 2017. He's the first person who gave me FPV goggles in this community. Like, he literally sold me them for like $50, and they were Fat Shark. So a very generous person, and I've always stayed in contact with him because we were living in different states. He started working in the special effects industry, so I haven't mentioned it in this episode, but if you go back, listen to the previous one, you will learn that Raymond has a background in cinema, and you've done a short movie called Mars. So you guys can go and have a look. I'll put a link in the description. But yeah, obviously, when I met Raymond and then I learned that my friend James was moving to Melbourne, I thought these two had to meet and fly together. So that's what happened.
Yeah, cool. So just a little side note too. So just to clarify, my short film Mars hasn't been released yet. It's just the trailer on my YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. But it is almost finished. It's short film circuit around the world. And I'm excited to announce, this is the first time I'm mentioning it, is that we got accepted into the St Kilda Film Festival here in Melbourne, which is pretty prestigious film festival. So very excited for that. What else was I going to say? I don't know. We were before we started our episode.
Yeah.
Noelle and I were talking about, it's like, oh man, we just come out of the back of like having a cold, and it's just coming into winter in Melbourne.
Yeah.
So like, we're a bit foggy, so we're probably going to be all over the shop. So we'll see it. We'll see how we go.
Yeah.
So James. So when we were out FPVing last, with yourself and James, and you guys were just doing all of the fun tricks, and I just want to be there already. I'm just very impatient. I just want to perfect the art already. So, and it's funny you should say that. He gave you your first set of goggles. Mm-hmm. He was so generous in that way, and that's clearly flowed through you, because you have provided me with my first controller, which is the Tango 2.
Yeah,
welcome to Tango 2.
Yes. Yeah.
So with that. I have, with your advices and James' advice as well, like I've discovered the Liftoff, flight simulator, FPV flight simulator, which is available on PS4, which is what I got. So I worked out, it was actually tricky to set up the controller to work with the PS4, but, I eventually worked it out somehow. There is a lot of settings in the Tango 2 controller, and I it was it was overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I was like trying to find tutorials on YouTube, but some of them just aren't so clear. And a lot of the tutorials for like PC and not really for PlayStation. So you're having fun with Momo there.
Sorry. People can't see it.
She's right up in your face.
Momo
yeah.
has been trying to lick every part of my face for the past 10 minutes. And anyway, sorry to interrupt you. I'm trying. Also, if you hear...
Well, I'm trying to like... just describe what I've been up to, and I just keep getting, it's like, how can you ignore Momo? Too cute.
And you know, she grunts a lot. She's like, and I don't know if people can hear it in the microphone as well.
We really need to film these episodes. And
yes, that's the plan. Yeah. We'll end up filming them eventually when I find the right platform for it. So if anybody has a suggestion in the audience, please write it in the comments of you know, our social media. Let me know if you know which platform is best to film like calls like this, just internet calls. Anyway, tangent.
Okay, all right, yeah. So
you can go back.
I've been playing Liftoff, and so I went into it with this was my mindset when I went into it. I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna treat Liftoff as if it was real life.
Yeah.
So I can be like super cautious, not hit anything, and you know just treat it for real. So I don't know. I figured that was going to make me a better pilot or whatever.
Yeah.
So I learned very quickly that just that went straight out the window right away. I am sure I have crashed at least 1,000 times already. But you know what? It's so great that there are these FPV flight sims, so I can really cut my teeth and learn all of the tricks before doing it for real. I guess probably the big test will be the controller and how it's set up with the sensitivities, whether that's going to be similar to how it is in real life as well.
Mm-hmm.
So just... trying to do all of the tricks, just trying to get my, like, pick my lines. Because I think the two biggest bits of advice that yourself and James gave me was picking your line. Because I was sort of flying, when we flew for real last, I was just trying to pick, how do I describe it? I was just trying to just fly, having a brain fart.
I feel like you were just trying to fly.
Yeah, that's what you said. Exactly.
People, don't worry. People here, they've all started, and that was what? That was your second session, right? Ever. So they will know what you mean when you're like, I was just trying to decide where you were going, pretty much. Is that what you were trying to, you know, to try to do something?
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. And but also, I think because of... got a lot of hours flying DJI drones.
Mm-hmm.
I was already had that mentality that I could just hover in place.
Yes, which is good.
And just go. Well, actually, I found it wasn't. And that was the other big bit of advice that you guys gave me was having forward momentum.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Because I was trying to stay in place and then I was trying to just fly from there. But what I found was because I was in place... One, my camera was tilted up more, so I couldn't see. I didn't have a good perspective and where I was going, like what was in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I found I was ended up drifting backwards, and then I'd like freak out and try to correct myself, and it just end up like I would be just there was lots of expletives that day.
There was a lot of tumbles. And you know what? I just love this kind of moments. So you're actually the third person I'm introducing to FPV. And the laughs and adrenaline you get from this moment, the start, you will never really get the same thing. Other things will come later, like when you actually can fly and you started hitting some gaps in the simulator. But then when we go in real life, you know, and you try to go through a window of an abandoned building, you will still get like the thrill and the happiness when you manage the trick. But nothing will be, in my opinion, I wonder what the audience would think, but... nothing will ever be as fun and hilarious than you not being in full control of your drone and being like, oh my God, what am I doing? And people watching it and, you know, seeing you explode. Not explode because you haven't broken anything, which is great.
Yeah.
But like, you know, crash and tumble and, and all not disarming. And we're all like, disarm, disarm.
Yeah. Oh, Well, that's another thing too. DJI drones, they don't last. I've crashed a couple already, and they were not recoverable. So I had that same mentality with the FPV drones as well, until I saw James hit the top of a tree, tumble all the way down, and hit concrete. I'm like, oh, it's still flying. He just sorted it out, and off he went again. I'm like, okay, all right, I got a bit more leeway here.
And the good thing with that, too, is that when we fly, the three of us, and when our other mate, like my other mate that I want to introduce to both you and James, joins us, we all fly the same sort of equipment in terms of build. So we all have this Apex frame, because you were borrowing my drone, and James and my other friend, Dale, they all fly Impulse RC Apex. So the good thing for you is that if you watch us crash or do things, you're like, okay, I'm flying exactly the same thing, so I can expect the same results, you know. Although, because you're starting, you might crash a bit more harder sometimes, but sometimes it doesn't mean anything because... hold on, just a second.
Yeah.
For people who are wondering what's this awkward silence, Mama was trying to... get off me, and then she was taking my headphones with the snout. I don't know what to call that. But sometimes, when you get more confidence, you also have like very bad crashes. But anyway, my point was like the good thing if you hang out with us and you watch what we're doing, you're like, okay, I have exactly the same equipment, I can do exactly the same thing. There's no excuse, so that's a good thing. I have some questions because I know what your first impressions were when you were trying to fly on for real. And then we can talk a bit more about the sim if you want. Mm-hmm. But you experienced issues turning. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And it was just practice. But the problem I was having, and I knew what you were going to bring up. So I'm like, I was already thinking in my head, trying to recreate the issue I had. So I was, if you could imagine, I was just hovering in place, and then I wanted to, I think, bank right or roll right.
Yep.
And if I didn't have forward momentum, which is the problem I was having, I should have had the forward momentum first, but I didn't. If I banked right, I found the drone rotated left and up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm like, why is this happening? I'm banking right, rolling right. Why? Yeah. So So that was the other thing. It's like forward momentum. You just got to, in combination. Yeah. The combination of your left and right stick to make that happen is so important. And that took me a while to pick up.
Yeah, all the movements are linked when you fly this way. And I feel like since then, I've seen some of your DJI flying indoors, because shortly after that session, we went inside building
warehouse.
And you flew closer, in my opinion, to things as well. So do you think that helped with DJI flying?
Yeah, because I did a lot of the flight sim before that shoot. With the Mavic 2 zoom, and it gave me the confidence to go closer to things actually. But I still had my sensors turned on, proximity sensors. Mm-hmm. But then only a shoot a little bit later on, after I'd done a lot more flight sim, I had a really tricky shoot where. I don't know if we can talk about the details of it. I'll have to be vague because it is from our work. And the footage hasn't come out yet. But I had to fly through a very narrow channel. Mm-hmm. I had concrete on either side with metal poles on one side going mm-hmm. all along as well. So it was a very narrow channel for me to fly through. I just couldn't get the shot because the proximity sensors just kept going off and the drone just kept coming to a stop.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? I've actually got more confidence now to be able to turn off and go into Addy mode and just go for it. And I tell you now, I was sweating and I had white knuckles, but I got the shots, and the more I did it, the more, and my confidence is just boosted even more after that shot. So Flight Sims, mate, get on it.
That's awesome. I guess you were more stressed with the Mavic now at that stage, because that's what you said. If you crash this one, it's not like crashing the FPV or crashing in the sim, obviously.
Oh, yeah. And, well, can I say this as well? Well, yeah, I crashed the last work one. So this was the second one. It's brand new. So I'm like, yeah, man. Oh, man. Man, but I got the shots. That's all that matters. There was no crashing and I got the shots. So
yeah. Yeah. Your shots are always amazing. Like, obviously we can't show anything because, you know, it's related to work. There's so many secret things we're doing, and even in general, we can't really show what we do at work. But every time I see your shots since day one, you know, the DJI ones, I've always found that you have the vision, which is very important, you know. And I feel like once you get your confidence in FPV, you're gonna be one of these person who will have what we call the flow. So, you know, there's one thing to fly FPV and know, you know, how to fly a full acro FPV drone, but it's another thing to do something with intention when you're flying. So some people have it. Like, there's a lot of people that I could recommend you to watch from the old school generation to the new school generation. If I mention Schizo FPV, lots of people here in the audience will know who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. He used to be very famous for this flow. Cool. Like, you would watch his footage and everything looked like there was an intention. And the lines that you were mentioning earlier in the introduction of this episode, the lines, he was hitting them perfectly and committing to them, to the point that I got the opportunity to watch him in real life. Like, I went to meet him in the US.
Wow, cool.
He's from Atlanta. So when I was there, we did a FPV session together, and you know how we can channel to each other's camera.
Yeah.
So I channeled to his camera for the first time. I didn't tell him.
Yeah.
And it was very strange, how can I say, experience, because I had watched very fast pilots in real life before, like people going very fast, whether it was for racing with Thomas Bitmara or freestyle with Snake FPV. You know, it's scary. You're like, oh my God, they're so fast. How do they react so quickly? But with Schizo and his commitment to lines, watching in real life, even though it wasn't crazy fast, it was, if anything, it was gracious. It was still fast, but, you know, more like graceful and poetic.
Mm.
But the commitment is what was scary. Sometimes he would pick his line and go. He loves flying around trees. So, and go through a gap of a tree, do either a power loop or something like that, and then, yeah, dive back into something. And I was, like, not breathing. And then when he landed, I removed my goggles and I was like, oh my God. And surely there's heaps of other people like that in the community, in the world, but that he's the only type of person that, yeah, he takes your breath away. Like, he's just wow. And that's something that you don't really see when you watch his YouTube edits.
Okay.
You can tell it's beautiful, you know, you can tell there's something.
Oh, you get to see it unedited.
Yeah, and once you see it unedited, you're like, I understand now why. It's the intention is in his flying that is delivering a message.
You finish.
I was just going to finish and say, I have a feeling that, well, I hope that you will be someone like this as well, you know, someone who has intention in the flying, because I could already see it in your DJI flying for work.
Ah, cool, yeah. Thanks. Yeah, yeah. I guess I'm always looking at it from the cinematic, filmic.
Yeah.
Oh God! Everyone's sick of cinematic that was done to death on YouTube, so I apologize. But yeah, so I'm always, I guess, shooting for the edit and thinking about how I'm going to string, how I could string a sequence together or whatever. So yeah, and I love a good reveal. Who doesn't? It's like we did a flight, did a shoot, and we got to go up in a chopper, and I was literally doors off, hanging out the side of the chopper, and like it was already like awesome shots here and there, but there was this one point we went up max altitude and then came down through a little cloud. It wasn't like a big cloud. It was just a very thin one, but we came through and it kind of like revealed what we were shooting below. And I'm like, yes!
Reveal. For the American audience, will they understand chopper? Is that Australian slang or is it World War slang?
Like, if anyone's seen Predator...
Okay, so it's correct. Chopper is the correct word for it. Helicopter for European people who don't speak English for their first language. That's what we meant. Because they're like, what the hell is a chopper?
Oh, it could be a like a Harley Davidson as well.
Yeah,
that's a chopper,
actually, so. That's true. So they were like, why was he in sky on a chopper?
Yes, it was like Meatloaf flying through the sky on a chopper, mate.
Oh my god. So you know, looking forward to this. The thing is,
I should probably, god, there's all these references, we're gonna go on all these tangents, like I'm referencing like Meatloaf as in the singer, like the album cover where he's like flying a Harley Davidson through the air. Okay, yeah, sorry, I just I'm pretty sure that's what it is. That's what
yes,
I haven't seen that album cover in a while. Anyway,
tangent. We always squirrel. Do tangent. We're creative people.
Okay, so where were we coming? We're coming back to... Oh, yeah. So you got to see his, Schizo's Uncut Stuff. Like, I wanted to ask you, what was your... what did you learn seeing his feed uncut like that?
So... I think I've mentioned it in the podcast before because I always mention it in life in general. I believe that people... watching each other's footage, then there's a phenomenon happening which is called what I called the FPV sponge. So you just your brain just sucked the footage. I don't know how to explain. You just watch someone doing things and then you can mimic it, you know, whether you want it or not. It's gonna happen. Something is gonna impact your flying, and I feel like it's gonna be very basic, my answer, for having watched him fly for about, maybe I spent a few days with him, so like 3-4 days, just the how to get lines correct, you know. It's like when you...
Oh, I would love to know that. Can you tell me now?
You just have to watch people. So, you know, it's such an interesting thing. You can't get the commitment, because that you get with your own behavior and confidence. Mm. But when you keep watching someone who gets the correct lines, you're gonna eventually start seeing them. And it's like, you know, you and I, like when you were obviously at work before me, you were working for this company before, and then I joined and you showed me what makes a correct frame for a video, you know, you're like the composition and things like this. So once I got to watch more and more of your footage, then suddenly I can pick and find the same frames and correct frame. There's no really right or wrong, but you know, there's something that will look a bit more beautiful and artistic than something else. So I think that when you watch someone else's footage in FPV, you're gonna pick up on little things like that. Mm. So,
well, I was gonna say the so if just using the example of like flying through a window, because I find that, because there's one level in Liftoff where it's like a barn out in a paddock, and and like flying through two windows, so in through one window of the barn and out through the other, I try to pick my lines, but surely there's just a point of no return. It's like once you get to just before the window, you know you're going to crash or you're not, right? Because it's like, okay, if I just need to be like just like 20 centimeters to the right and I'll get through, but it's like I don't know if it's my reaction time is just not enough to just make that micro correction so I can get through the way I want, or there is always a point of no return and you're either just gonna eat it.
I feel like the more I can compare it to is, you know how when we're kids, I don't know if it used to happen to you a lot, but you don't know how to get through doors properly. You're going to hit your shoulders, you know, I don't
kick
know.
Kick your toes
used...
on the
yeah. You know, we used to trip and not be aware of how our body the volume of it. Like, okay. I used to be awful and knock my shoulders into doors. I'm like, why? Okay. The door is wide enough for my body, but I'm not, you know? And then it's not helping because you're also growing for so many years of your life. But I can compare that to drones. One day you will know, if you don't change your setup too much, which is my style of doing things. I don't like changing crazy things on my build because I want to get used to it and know it like my own body. So you know, I don't put on 20 kilos overnight. Like that would be a problem for me to know how to move in the world. So it's the same with my drone. I don't want to put something like to change batteries overnight and have heavier batteries suddenly on a drone. I wouldn't know the momentum of it. So you will learn the dimension of your drone, but also the momentum and its behavior in the air. So after a while, when you arrive to a new location, once you've done a bit of scouting, you will be able to go further, pick lines, and go through obstacles.
Obstacles!
That's an inside joke. I didn't know how to pronounce obstacle. And Raymond just literally was just crying, laughing the first time I said that word.
You put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Yeah, like a German person. Obstacle. No offense, I love German people, by the way. I come from Strasbourg, so.
just for the record, you have to say obstacle every time now.
Every time now I have to.
it's just fun to say it that way.
It's the way I say it. But yeah, you know, you obstacle. Will learn. You will learn how to go through obstacle. And you will learn how to manage your drone because you will know it by heart and muscle memory and everything. And because it's all about, all we can do with controlling our drones is making a link between what we see in the camera and your muscle memory with your fingers. So if you also keep your radio for, you know, certain amount of time, which I would say several years would be good, then your link between what you see and your fingers will be established. You will know exactly which input does what.
Yeah.
And then if you don't change your setup and it always has the same answer to what you give as an input, then you can do anything.
Okay, cool. Well, at the moment, I'm just all thumbs. I'm like, I don't have, because I know there's different ways you can control the sticks, but I do wonder, like, does it really matter if I only use my thumbs, or should I have the pinch technique with thumb and forefinger? I don't know.
Like, no,
is there advantage or disadvantage to either?
There's just different people doing different things, and I wonder where it comes from. You know, some people come from a wing or airplane background, so that's going to make them choose a certain way to use the sticks. Some people come from a gaming background.
Preference.
Yeah, you come from a gaming background. So that's going to influence. And then some people come from nothing, and that was me. And I'm like, well, I'm doing hybrid then, because I wanted to move my thumbs on top of the sticks, but I felt weird because I felt I was more in control with adding my is it index?
Yeah,
index. And that's how I did it. But I didn't feel like pinching because that was weird. So I'm doing hybrid. And
I wonder though, because I wonder if the sensitivity of the sticks should change depending on what you do. Because I feel with my thumbs, I can make micro adjustments. But I wonder if it's easier to make even finer micro adjustments with the thumb and forefinger.
Well, there's a couple of things we haven't addressed yet because you're just starting, right? So now we just want you to have an overall feeling of your drone and be able to fly without crashing too much if you're just in the air, like on the field, right? Open field, which I think you're almost doing right now. And you can land properly as well. We forgot to mention that. You're already taking off and landing, in my opinion, perfectly when you're not crashing. but once you do that in real life too, because you've been doing a lot of sims, so I just want to see you fly again. We can start refining two things. The first thing is the actual tension in your controller. So you can have it, you can increase it or you can decrease it. So you can have not smoother, because it's going to stay smooth, but yeah, it's the tension in your sticks. So
is that like the tension in tripod?
Yeah, exactly. So we can change that.
Oh,
and
that's cool. I didn't know that.
Also, we can also change what is called the rates. So I think I mentioned that to you in the past. A lot of people in the audience will know, but hopefully there's some people who don't really know how that works. You have two things that you can change in your flight controller firmware. You can change the PIDs, which are the gains that you give to your drone to counteract the inputs you... It's pretty much tuning the drone. So, yeah. And then you have the rates, which is your PIDs, technically. it is calculating the inputs you give, and it's going to make the drone do certain rotation at a certain frequency. Mm. So if you have high rates, for example, and you go full right stick, you know, on the roll, it's going to do a certain amount of rotation per second. But if you have lower rates, it's going to do less amount of rotation. So with that, you know, once you find what kind of brain you have, if you have a high rate or a medium rate or a low rate brain, you're going to feel even more connected to your drone.
Yeah, cool.
Rates are super important. I used to think I need high rates because I want to be reactive, and I'm a bit hyperactive sometimes in my life. I'm a bit like, you know, excited. And I thought high rates were going to be what I needed until I lowered them again. And then I felt like I could be exactly, I found the right rates for me. And yeah, it's working really well. Once you find your rates, you feel like you're comfortable. It feels like you're in control.
Cool.
Whereas if you're a bit out of the rates that should suit you, you feel like you're fighting a bit all the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the thing. So, you know, obviously because we both got sick, we had to isolate. No, you didn't get sick from COVID, but I got COVID. People know it.
I feel like I've had all of the COVID symptoms, but haven't actually caught COVID.
Yeah. So I haven't been able to come and sit down at your place and have a look at the sim and see how we can make it closer to the real thing. Because the good thing we didn't tell people is that we decided we were going to fly the same mode. You decided you were going to fly mode one because I fly mode one. And people are going to hate us because people hate mode one. But
oh, really?
I'm like, yeah, but
I noticed in liftoff, it says mode 2 is the default or the preferred or whatever.
Yes.
Is that true? Usually?
Yeah. Yes. So we're going to be the black sheep of FPV, but you know why? Thomas Bibada is multi-world champion racer and he's mode 1. So I'm like, you know, it's not going to change anything. The fact you're mode 1, you can fly as well as anybody else in this world. So
I told you I was going to change my DJI settings to mode 1 as well, but I haven't. I can't do it. So I'm actually have two different mindsets now. When I'm doing FPV, mode 1, DJI, mode 3.
That's awesome. Awesome. And none of this is mode 2, so people are going to be raging. anyway, I know the audience is actually more empathetic than what I'm picturing them. Yeah. Like, I know they're going to be a lot more understanding. I like joking. So yeah, the good thing is maybe it would be nice for me to come sit down, have a little go at the sim, see if we can improve it to make it feel more like my drone, and then you can just, you know, go from the sim to real life very easily. And like I told you in the past, in my experience and a lot of other of my friends' experience, when you fly in the sim, it's almost like you can see a future version of the pilot in you. You're always better in the sim, but it's not like, it's not fake. It's just the level you're going to have in a couple of weeks or a month's time, you know? So it's always nice to keep doing the sim because you're like, that's what I can already do in the sim. And you know, it's going to come in real life eventually. And it's very interesting. So yeah. And you've been enjoying the sim, right? Before we start talking about movies, like what kind of stuff have you done beside the barn? Do you know what maps you've been flying?
Loving the Bando City. I've been doing that one a lot just because there's lots of lines you can pick, and I like the structures, how you can just sometimes I try and fly through the different levels of a building or just simply doing like I forget all of the different terms for different styles of FPV, but just doing a nice fly through down the street and then do like an orbit around the structure at the end just to try and So I'm not trying to do fancy tricks or anything. Coming from a filmmaking point of view, I'm trying to get like really smooth and immersive kind of shots. So that's always, that's usually how I look at it. So I'm probably, what's the term they use for?
There's a, well, usually it's cinematic.
Okay.
That's, yeah, that's what a cinematic, you also have, so you have freestyle, you have cinematic freestyle, which is you're still doing some upside down things and freestyle, a bit dynamic, but you, you're not trying to execute them in a row, like very snappity. So, and then I feel like you should give a go to a racing track.
I tried. That's, yeah, that's like just a whole nother thing. I and this is where I think I need your help. I've kind of hit a wall where, also pun intended, trying to do like sharp turns on a dime. Yeah. I just can't get the right combination of stick movement to be able to do that, accurately.
Mm-hmm.
Just, yeah. So there's actually one level in there that's, the streets of France. Of Paris,
really?
I think. Yeah.
Nice.
I was going to send you a clip of it, but honestly, I just kept crashing and I couldn't get through the first turn. So I'm like, I'm not going to send that.
The pressure was too heavy. It
shame.
Was on.
Shame.
I would love to have a look because I've never tried liftoff. Like I told you, this is why I tried to help you when you had some bugs, but some things I didn't know. Plus it was on PS4. So and nothing was the same as what I did with Sim, which was laptop and a Velocidrone. But I'm glad you got sorted it out, and I would be keen to try it. So we'll try to organize this. And that's going to be a good link to the second part of this episode, because I feel like next time we meet together in the same room, I would like to record a video for my YouTube, which would be reacting to the recent Michael Bay movie Ambulance. Because I don't know if people in the audience know, probably lots of them know, there's lots of FPV shots in that movie. They've been made by Captain Vanover and Jet. So you obviously all know these people, and they're just amazing. I really like those shots in the movies, and I'm so happy that this movie has included so many FPV shots, and you just watched it yesterday.
yeah it was and even before I saw it, I saw an episode of Potato Jet on YouTube, and he interviews Michael Bay and the actors, and it, so yeah, if anyone hasn't seen that yet, go and watch it. It's really cool to see them talking about it, and the drones they were using and some of the effects, and the, I think that yeah, it was cool. Just go watch it.
Just for reference, what other movies has Michael Bay done in the past?
Oh my god, are you putting me on the spot?
Yeah.
Transformers.
Transformers. Yeah, so
probably
his style,
more notably that, yeah.
Yeah, his style is, can definitely match FPV. That's why it's interesting that he used it. So it's funny because, like I said in the introduction, in a previous episode we've done together, we were just saying, oh yeah, FPV is definitely one day going to be used in cinema, etc. And I didn't anticipate that 6 months later that would already be full on happening with this Michael Bay movie. I was expecting a few shots, like the movie we just mentioned before starting the episode, Red Notice, that is on Netflix. Just like here and there, and that's it. Or some series, like someone mentioned that in the Winter Soldier, I think James told me, Winter Soldier, my friend James said the first episode has some FPV shots in it, and I forgot. So I was just, you know, expecting that, not like the full-on thing in Ambulance.
Yeah. Well, that's so interesting you say that, because I've only watched the first couple episodes of Winter Soldier, but I didn't notice that there was any FPV shots. So I think that's a testament that they used it in a way that didn't take you out of the story and you didn't notice it.
Yeah.
But I think because I knew that there was FPV in Ambulance last night, I was like, I was looking for the FPV shots. but because of Michael Bay's filmmaking style, you're right, it totally suits the style. And because there's shots in there where it looks like there was some handheld camera work, but they were running along with the camera at a low angle.
Yeah.
And that sort of fits seamlessly in with some of their FPV shots where they're, like going through under like car parks and whatever.
Yeah.
But I did notice, and it was actually kind of hard to watch the movie because I kept getting distracted and was trying to analyze all the FPV shots.
I was the same.
Yeah. So one shot that really impressed me, and I actually rewound and watched it again a couple of times. It was a helicopter, and there's lots of choppers. Lots of choppers in the film. And there's this one shot where the chopper sort of banks and turns, and then it goes point of view of the chopper, and it was clearly, and that was an FPV shot. And it was the bank of the helicopter matched the bank of what the FPV was seeing.
Yeah.
And the FPV of the chopper. and then it sort of comes down and on like past a tree, and they had an overlay in the shot, so it made it look like it was like a drone. You know how like military drones have like an overlay, they got like the target and the graphics across the top and the bottom and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it looked like that. So it was like, I guess they were imitating the choppers. I can take that word seriously now. The perspective of the chopper's mounted camera on the police chopper tracking the vehicles on the ground.
Yeah.
But as that shot came down past the tree and down to the road, as it came past the tree, that overlay faded away.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly it became like it was just a tracking shot of the vehicles going along the road. So yeah, I reckon if and when we come to do our reaction shot, we should review that clip, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really want to make that happen on the channel. This is really a video that motivates me, and it's true that I haven't been that active on YouTube anymore because I have this podcast that I love and I have Instagram and I feel like it's plenty. But I feel like for projects like this, you need to be on video and we can't just comment on the podcast, right? So, and I really want to do that with you because you have your filmmaking background as well, that now newly FPV pilot background. So I'm really excited. And I was hoping to do that, you know, this week and this weekend, but we are both... how can I say, immune drained? So we couldn't do it. But this raised a good point, you know, like how much FPV has been present on our screens now in mainstream content. So movies, I've seen it in ads. Recently, you know, the Shane Warne, ceremony that happened at the MCG here. So people who don't know, he's a Australian cricket player, right, who passed away this year. Was it this year?
Yeah.
I think, yeah. And so they decided to do a memorial ceremony at the cricket ground in Melbourne. And we got commissioned, not with the company I work with Raymond for, but with someone else. We got commissioned to do FPV shots for it. And that was the whole introduction of the ceremony that was, you know, on TV and on screens, and it goes for a full minute of only FPV going, you know, through Melbourne
so
and
cool.
towards the stadium. It was really cool. And everybody saw it. So everybody, so many people, because people estimated, you know, millions of people to watch this show, right? Everywhere around the world. So it means millions of people have seen FPV, like a 1 minute FPV edit, and somehow this makes me so happy because I'm like, people are gonna get used to that too, and they're gonna be more tolerant maybe when they see people playing FPV, you know.
Yeah, well, it's probably gonna just end up like it is with regular drones now. It's like people are so used to them that it might end up being like that. But then again, like flying FPV, if anyone's listening that hasn't flown FPV, I think you would be surprised how difficult it is to fly FPV. I consider myself pretty dexterous but man, I've struggled to really get in the groove. So I forgot my train of thought there. Yeah. So I think FPV will I'm going to take that back. I don't think FPV will end up being like regular drone stuff, because I think there's a difficulty level that's going to exclude or make it difficult for a lot of people to get into it.
Yeah, until like it gets easier to maybe build them So, you know, I'm really hoping that we can build you a drone eventually, so that, not because I don't want you to use my drone, but I want you to understand everything about the drone. And then, you know, after that, after you build your first drone, I don't care if you buy bind and fly drones online. You know, you can do whatever you want. I just want you to make sure that you know what you're doing and what you need to fix, if you need to fix something, because so many people then get limited by the knowledge of the drone. Like recently, there's been more and more bind and fly drone, FPV drone sold online, that people buy it and it's great and they do awesome stuff with it. But then when they crash, they don't know how to repair it. And sometimes they just get discouraged as well. So what's next for you.
I think that's a great point, because if that becomes really commonplace and lots of people end up buying that just so easily, I think, they're going to find out pretty quickly how easy it is to crash.
Yes.
And especially if they've come from just a regular drone to FPV and try and fly it in the same way. It's like, I have no idea how FPV is going to develop over the next, I don't know, five years or whatever.
Mm. Yeah, I'm really curious to see, because everything that I thought was going to happen happened a lot faster. So I can't wait to see the rest of 2022 and then next year what's going to happen, because I think you know that my co-host of this podcast, she's for work, she's flying those giant pods. So I know that among all the information that we got told in the past, I think it was told in an episode we recorded together as well. If people want to scroll back and have a look at the Airspeeder episode with the person from Airspeeder, that was a guest, he mentioned that once these races are ongoing, you know, with people in the pods and everything, they might need FPV drones to shoot the race. So, yeah, get ready, Raymond.
Okay.
Because you have time.
Challenge accepted.
I have a question for you. Now that you fly and you start getting, you know, used to it, and do you already have a bit of an idea of how to use it for your own projects? Like, would you like to, do you think, integrate some FPV stuff in your future video projects, if you have any?
No, I haven't really thought that far. I'm still just trying to, I'm just trying to work out slalom. No, I haven't thought anywhere past that at this point. But there is one thing that I do want to try. Yeah. So with the DJI, and because I love my sci-fi films, I want to try and bring a bit of that to FPV. I don't know if it would work. Moment is a business that makes lens attachments for like iPhones and that, but they made an anamorphic attachment for the Mavic 2 Pro. And I'm curious to see if you could somehow adapt that, or actually if you're going to be using a like a GoPro for FPV anyway, then surely there's anamorphic adapters for GoPros as well. So bit of anamorphic FPV, that might be pretty cool.
Do you want to remind some people what anamorphic, like what does it do in the video? To your footage. It makes it look cool, let's say.
I'm probably going to butcher the definition, but it's taking I don't know if this is true, but apparently back in, I think maybe World War One, in army tanks, to see out like a viewing port, they developed these lenses that distorted the image so you could see a wider field of view looking through your viewport. And they took those lens elements and adapted them to cinema. And it allowed... It's a lens that allows you to take a wider image and essentially squeeze that image onto the film or the sensor.
Yeah.
And then through post-processing, you're able to de-stretch it and or you can do it in camera to de-stretch it, and it gives you a wider aspect ratio. So it's, you know, the telltale sign of anamorphic is those big beautiful lens flares that streak across the screen.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, there are ways of faking that anamorphic look, but yeah, you just got to think of like something like Aliens and and the wide aspect with the blue streaks. Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, there you go.
There was a video a long time ago now. I was going to say, recently, but now that I think about it, it's probably a few years that Peter MacKinnon did presenting iPhone anamorphic lenses or smartphone. I don't know if it was for iPhone. And he
just I'm pretty sure that was Moment. And I think that might have been where I first saw it.
Okay.
Because Moment, they like those sort of companies do, they all have an embargo? They just like get all of the creators to create videos about it, and they all released it at the same time. So yeah, I've watched a bunch of those videos. I'm like, actually, yeah, that is pretty cool. And literally the iPhone case that I have in my iPhone right now that I'm showing to you that no one can see because we're on a podcast is designed specifically for those Moment lenses. So I can attach my little tiny baby anamorphic lens to my iPhone and get some pretty cool shots.
Yeah. So, you know, that's actually a good idea. That's a good idea. And like you said, surely we could find something for GoPro. Oh, so people might think
Sorry, I'll just interject quickly. That's even if there isn't something for GoPro, why not just like, because the new iPhones shoot ProRes.
Yeah.
Why don't you just attach your iPhone? Like you probably want an insurance plan, but just chuck an anamorphic lens on your iPhone and attach it to a drone and off you go.
When one of the latest iPhones, I don't remember if it was for the last iPhone, when it came out, one of the most famous FPV pilots in the mainstream world, called Johnny FPV, he done this. He was part of the commercial, so you could see that he had put the phone on his drone and was taking off and filming with it. So it's not crazy to think that some people put their phone on it, but you have to be Johnny, right? So now that's cool. That's good that you had this idea. I was just gonna say, for people who think it's wider view, it's not like a fisheye effect either. It's something completely different. So I would say go have a look at anamorphic if you're interested, and maybe it will trigger a bit of creativity on everybody's brains as well.
Well, here's a shout out. If anyone's listening that's already done anamorphic with FPV, send us a link. Love to see it.
Totally, totally. We will repost it. We will repost it on the pages and of this podcast and my own page, because that's really cool. We want to promote creative stuff. That's why we get cinematographer in FPV, so we don't just stagnate into doing flip-flops around trees, but we elevate the hobby a little bit.
I wonder, we should look, actually I'll do some research and see if they did any anamorphic lenses with ambulance. I know it looked like they used a mix-mash of lenses, like spherical and anamorphic. Watch this space. well, I'll do some research and we'll get back to everyone listening.
Yes. And is there anything we wanted to talk about in this podcast? I feel like if people listen to this, watch Ambulance and watch the Potato Jet behind-the-scene video, they will be pretty much informed on everything we've talked about, which is good. So is there anything you wanted to mention about, you know, whether these movies that you've watched recently or your own experience since you started doing real life flying and simulator? I guess you're hooked.
I'm really interested to see like the next, who's going to take the FPV in, you know, the Hollywood scene and adapt it in a way that can tell a really interesting story. Mm-hmm. I felt like there was lots of flashy shots in Ambulance, but surely someone will think of a creative way of telling a story using FPV. So I'm excited to see what that might be.
Nice. That should be the conclusion of this episode. You know that people get frustrated that the episodes are always limited to like an hour long.
Oh, really?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I got someone sent me a very kind message just saying that they really liked the podcast recently, and then I said, "Awesome! And can you tell me a bit more why you like it?" And you know, why, what we could do better. And they explained to me why they liked it. And then they said, but why do you always stop after, like just before an hour? We want more. But I feel like it's good in a way. I want to stop where the conversation could go further, but we stop it so that one day we can talk a bit more with more knowledge and more things have happened in the meantime. So
yeah,
it gets it.
Well,
it,
I think it's great that even just from our last episode where we were talking about, we were literally going, oh, I wonder how they could use FPV in cinema. Mm-hmm. And now we've got a couple of films with some great examples. So yeah. I think it's just going to keep exploding and expanding. It's going to, yeah, I'm really excited to see what's next.
Yeah, and we'll do another episode about it again.
Yes.
Well, thanks so much for joining again today, Raymond. It's always awesome to talk about FPV or anything with you.
Yeah.
You know it.
thank you. Yeah, I really enjoy just chatting with you all of the times. Like, obviously we work together and we do podcasts together and we go and fly FPV together. It's like,
yeah.
It's so much fun. So thank you so much for having me on this episode. And I can't wait for the next one.
Awesome. Well, thanks everybody for watching as well. Don't forget to, if you want to have like podcast release alerts, you can follow either my page, Onigiri FPV, Lexi, my usual co-host who's not here today. She also reposts a lot of information about the podcast. So that's Mayon High on Instagram. And then we have our own Instagram page, which is Onigiri and Co. So please give us a follow on this if you want to, you know, be up to date with what we release. And if you want to support this podcast, share the episode if you like it. That's the best way to, you know, support our work, and we'll see you soon in the next episode. Bye bye.
Yay, bye.